What would you say you do here?
Have a good time all the time.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody!
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man.
I want you to be realistic.
What do you love about music?
Being realistic.
As the story grows.
Hello, welcome back to the next chapter as the story grows. My name is Trav, and I had to hire another guy to help me out with the podcast because the other Steven wasn't showing up anymore. Hasn't been here for the past couple episodes. So introduce yourself, new guy.
My name is Prototype Steven Sarrow 2.
Every intro gets worse and worse and worse. I'm actually starting to take pride in it. It's getting to the point now that I'm actually impressed.
Well,
how much lower a low can get.
These vacations from my voice, is that helping the show? That's the question.
I don't know. Listeners, you like Steven more involved in the intro or not involved in the intro?
Let's slowly vote me off this show.
Favorite if you prefer him and retweet if you don't. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
This is when we suddenly get feedback. You know, everyone in all the drones will be jumping out. All get rid of him!
It'll be like, fire both of those guys.
Yeah, exactly. Fire both of us.
Well, welcome back. I missed you. I missed you, Steven.
I missed you, too.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since we've actually... I mean, we were both on with Colin, but there was a break between that and the break after.
Right.
Feels like we're not really podcasting anymore.
It's been a while. You work a lot.
I work a lot, and I'm a new father, so that's chaotic. And
you're a new father?
Well, I mean, I'm only 8.5 months in.
Right.
I'm not a pro like you with your...
You gotta stop.
18-year-old children.
You gotta stop blaming your 8.5-month-old on everything, man. You're gonna have to sack up, as Jared Norris would say.
It's just been tough, man. It's like that summer rush. It's everything. It's like new job adjustments.
Summer rush.
Living in the limelight.
That rush?
Living in the sunlight. The universal summer dream.
So dumb.
You started it.
I did start it. I'd like to end it now too.
Oh. You know, like the summer is always like weirdly busy, and then like if I look at what's going on, it doesn't seem like I'm doing anything different, but for some reason it's just busier. I don't know how to make sense of it. But
that's a weird statement. I don't know how to take that.
just take it. Just accept it.
Okay.
Put it in your pipe and smoke it.
It's been taken.
It's, you know.
I like it.
Just a lot of stuff's going on. I guess it's everybody's busy. Like, getting guests on here has been harder. Getting schedules to line up where everyone, all three of us can, you know, you and me and whoever we're talking to.
Dude, I'm trying to line somebody up with a 6-hour time difference because he's overseas. It's like I have to talk to him at like dinner time on a Saturday or like 3 a.m.
And it's just been like every time a guest says, well, this is my availability, it's like, dude, do it without me, man. I can't be a part of it.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, that's the way the show goes on. You know, sometimes you just got to step back and let the train leave without you. And that's just the unfortunate situation. But I'm a part of the show. I'm a part of every episode in behind the scenes sense. But it is what it is. I was a little bummed missing out on talking to Jason. And
why? Jason's a douche. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, he doesn't listen to the show apparently, so we can say what we want about him.
Exactly. Jason, no wisdom. Am I right? High five.
Because it's true.
Jason's one of the more beautiful people I've ever met. He's awesome. Right there, baby. Marilyn Manson drop. No? All right.
It's been a while since we've talked about music purchases or music releases that
you've been listening
to and all that stuff. Has anything come out that you've been listening to, or have you been listening to anything cool? Like, I don't know.
What's going on? Some big decisions to make with the family and everything. I'm thinking about just dropping them and getting another better family. No, I'm totally kidding. I'm thinking about making some major changes here. So I'm trying to not buy anything other than like gum and whiskey and drumsticks, like the necessities, you know.
Hormones are expensive, right? The hormone pills.
I haven't bought a lot of vinyl. And I've been very blessed. A couple of friends have been hooking me up with like, hey, I know you're eventually going to buy the vinyl. Here, take the, you know, here's a copy of the digital so you can hear it at least, because I don't stream.
Really. Of what?
High on Fire, dude. The High on Fire album is brutal.
Yeah.
Oh, was that from you?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
We're talking in the like I'm somebody else.
Right. Ken Mode. Ken Mode from our buddy Jeremy. Mutoid Man. Oh my God, I love Mutoid Man's new album.
Never even heard of him.
Oh. Oh my. Oh my goodness.
You'll have to send me that.
Yeah, I will. It's good stuff. So I'm up. I'm still keeping up with what's out there and everything, but I haven't really purchased a lot of vinyl lately just because I'm on a spending freeze trying to figure some stuff out here.
I'm listening to what I consider to be one of the greatest disappointments in heavy metal history. Okay. In my opinion,
I have no idea where this is going.
Is the fact that Max Cavalera left Sepultura.
Okay.
There was a band called Sepultura, and now there's a band called Sepultura, and they're very different bands.
Sure.
And when Max Cavalera fronted classic Sepultura, they were...
And you like some of the later stuff that I'm actually not as into. I know you're a big Bloody Roots fan.
Well, I think Roots is their best record. I think it's
wholeheartedly disagree.
It's not as good. It's better than Chaos AD. I mean, Chaos AD's got about 8 tracks. It's just it's like 8 songs too long. It's like an hour and 10 minutes long. It's like it should have been like a tight 45 because some of the songs on like Territory and so another one, Slave New World and all that stuff, like, is just like so good. But it just
I thought you were gonna say those are the ones that should be cut, and I was about to unplug.
No, those are the good ones.
Laptop
like,
over. Oh, okay.
All right. Those are the good songs, but the problem is there's like all these instrumentals. There's like an acoustic jam. There's like
I love it front to back, and I love Arise. Oh God, dead embryonic cells. Stop those silliness.
Those are so good, but the thing is, Roots is not. It was influenced by the things that were coming out, but they were like a death metal, speed metal, thrash metal band deciding to like slow it down a little and down tune. And so you get like a death metal version of nu metal, You know, okay. like, because I am like, I cannot stand nu metal music. Like, I didn't even like nu metal when it was nu metal, you know, like when it was coming out. I didn't like, I never got into the Fear Factories and the, you know, bands like that. Just sort of that like 97, 98 era of major label metal or whatever you want to call it.
I loved Fear Factory.
Yeah, just like, I don't know, like I didn't get into, you know, like Korn came out in 94 and I remember really liking them. Like,
yeah, we all did.
In the very beginning when, because it was just so, the only thing you could compare it to was like Primus and Helmet or Faith No More or something. Like, it, right. You know, the only thing that existed that allowed you to hear it and go, well, what does this remind me of was like Helmet. So, you know, now when you think back, you go, well, Korn kind of started this whole thing, you know, of this sort of overproduced metal downtuned seven string guitar thing. Right. Well, I remember when Sepultura put Roots out, it kind of felt like it was in that vein. Mm. But what's interesting is that Sepultura was so much heavier before that you end up in this weird place in their musical career of just being like downtuned and taking on that modern sound, but it's just so freaking brutal, pummelingly, crushingly heavy. So I think they hit their stride with that era. And what I'm getting at is what I've been listening to is this live double disc live album of theirs called Under a Pale Gray Sky.
It's just, right.
It's just like,
there's something about them too, where I always felt like you can take the metal out of South America, but you can't take the South America out of the metal. They still have that.
Or you can
roots, for lack of, I mean, I'm not going for the pun there. What? But they still have those Brazilian.
Well, they roots. Embraced it. They fully embraced it with Roots. I mean, that was like
the whole going into the jungle and listening to rhythms from the jungle and mm-hmm. Igor doing all kinds of crazy drumming and stuff like that. I do respect that. Definitely. I mean, Igor Cavalera, the man doesn't bore you on the drums. He's crazy good.
I'm actually really shocked that you don't find Roots to be their best record. I mean, I'm
a shocked.
Like, I don't
guy.
Even, it's I'm, not even like, it's
I'm,
not
full
even
of, like, I'm full of surprises. I'm sitting here naked.
It's not even like a typical disagreement. Like, I just happen to like this record more. I happen to like Anima more than Lateralis, like something like that. You know what I mean? Where it's like, you're looking at two amazing records. Like, how do you compare them? Like, I feel like Roots was above and beyond like anything that they've ever done. Like, it just,
I'll tell you why it's not one of my favorites. When did Roots come out?
96.
I was off the metal. I was wandering away by that point. 96. I was completely bought in indie rock. Well,
but
I'll drag
I was full on into indie rock and all that stuff at that point. But man, when you hear a record, I've always been a fan of metal, and like when you hear a band like as heavy as Sepultura,
right,
doing something with a modern edge. I mean, 96. We were not burned out yet on.
No.
Metalcore or heavy.
I was burned out on it. I just don't think I was automatically listening to everything that was coming down the pike. Yeah. I think I was like, I kind of hit the fork in the road, and it was kind of like, as metal spills over from my friends, I'll listen to it. But I mean, 96, I was listening to everything from Jawbox to Jellyfish. I just went off the deep end.
Oh, I was there, dude. I mean, I was listening to Discord record stuff, and
I don't think it was. I don't think it's that stuff. I don't like Roots as much as it is just it wasn't. It's just like now. There's amazing stuff coming out, and I have to be told about it because I'm too busy. I'm still listening to stuff from, you know, I'm still. I think I'm working my way through 2002 and 3. I'm behind. A lot to listen to.
Give it another listen, man, for sure. Because Chaos AD is a classic metal record for sure, but they were going a new direction with that, and they landed precisely on the target with Roots. Not to mention the production was just brutal heavy. But this live album, Under a Pale Gray Sky, gives you the Roots tour complete with Arise, Beneath the Remains, Oof, Chaos.
Love that stuff.
All that stuff. They even go all the way back to that, what is that, Bestial Devastations or whatever it's called. They go all the way back, their whole catalog, but they play it. Like they don't slow down. Like, they slow down on the newer albums, but they start playing you know, all the classic older stuff, they play it like twice as fast. Recording of this live concert is like album quality heavy. Like it's one of the best live recordings I've ever heard.
Hmm.
I mean, it's just, everything is just perfect. It sounds like a band that's been touring.
I just wrote it down under Great Sky. I'm going to put it in notes so all the listeners can go click.
It's
on
cool.
The link, check it out.
Because when you get to the second disc, then they start switching it up and they start doing like, you know, Dead Embryonic Cells.
Yes.
Biotech is Godzilla. They do. Yeah. And then they go into the Policia.
Nice.
And then out of nowhere, they switch it up and they do a Motorhead cover. They do a Cro-Mags cover.
Okay, wow.
We Gotta Know by Cro-Mags. It's nuts. And by the end of the show, they're just like, it's like, okay, we just played a set. Now we're just going to hit you with like 10 fast songs in a row.
Nice.
And then good night. Like,
do they play Nomad?
No.
Oh, I love that song.
But they play like everything else that you'd want to hear,
except the song I wanted to hear.
They play Necromancer, dude.
Oh man!
That's so cool. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I've been listening to Sepultura a lot this week and just sort of lamenting on the fact that like they had just finally sort of found their home. They found their sound. They found their sort of their peak was there, and then out of nowhere we got Soulfly. And an imposter Sepultura, and
right.
They've never been as good since that era. And it's really old news. It's 20-year-old news now, but I'm just saying. It's just I hear that stuff, and I'm just like, man, what happened to metal music?
Well, you have that recording, so you can always go back to it.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway.
Okay, so we're gonna get on with it. I had a chance. Steven didn't get a chance to sit down on this one, but I sat down and I talked to local Bethlehem metal band Secret Cutter. They're amazing. I'm trying to.
I'm a fan of the band.
Everybody I've introduced them to is a fan. I'm super proud of these guys. They're really. I feel like the Lehigh Valley and southeastern PA has always had a good music scene. Even back when cheesy metal mm-hmm. was the thing, we had it. But
I hope Brad Jacobs listening.
if he is, what's up?
Don't get this music. It's just a bunch of screaming.
It's just noise.
It's just a bunch of heaviness and a bunch of tough guys screaming. Like no melodies, no constructed music.
Doesn't make me want to bob my head.
I'm going downstairs and I'm putting on my Voivod album. I love you, Brad. I'm sorry. I had to.
Brad Jacob, the guy who is the only reason that there is an Unteachers album that we're not selling to anybody is because of that guy. So
mm-hmm.
we've earned the right to make fun of him. So piss off, Brad Jacob.
That's true.
I got a very encouraging email from a guy named Jerry Adams. And
yeah, I got it too.
I want to read. Right, we
you
both
hear that account.
I wanted to. Oh, I don't think I finished my thought because we started making fun of Brad. See, I get so distracted.
You're on drugs tonight or something.
Well, not tonight. It's just I took extra ones tonight. But I've been trying to focus on local bands too. I know that there's. I mean, I always say this: we don't have a big listenership, but the ones we have are emailing us and talking to us and Twittering and Facebooking us and letting us know that they really love what's going on. And mm-hmm. I would love to bring the local bands that are not getting any kind of exposure to the platform of a podcast so that some kid from Lithuania can accidentally hear about a metal band.
And we have a big Lithuanian audience. I want to thank you.
Huge. I think. Yeah. Getting. So, anyway, I'm trying to, sit down with the local bands and actually have them talk. And you know, I did that with.
Well, yeah, from time to time, we have to do our local pride. You know, it's just the way it mm-hmm. is.
Right.
There's a lot of cool bands in Lehigh Valley, and you know.
Definitely, yeah. And I mean, Lancaster, Philly. I mean, that's all kind of our scene. So I want to sit down and talk to these folks. And I got a chance to sit down and talk to all three of the guys from Secret Cutter, and it was amazing. And I can't wait for everybody to hear everything that we talked about. Some good stories in there, man. There's some deep stuff that happened too, which is why I love podcasting. But before we get to that, I want to read an email from Jerry Adams. This guy sent us an email, just a kind of an encouragement email to let us know, mm-hmm. like, hey, I really dig what you're doing. And then we're going to play. He happens to be in a band. Maybe this was just a shameless way to get his band on the show. But, hey, it worked. They're called Our Fathers, all one word. And I'm going to put a link up on how you can check these guys out.
Yeah, I mean, the way you worded that, I would say it like this. I mean, we appreciate anyone who's going to write into the show. We're not getting so much feedback that we can't read them when we get them. When people write in, I want to, you know, share that feedback with people, because I want to encourage more listener support and more listener involvement. And
yep.
This particular listener happens to be in a band, and more so happens to be in a band that I clicked on the link and listened to, and I thought, hey, you know what? This is pretty good quality stuff. I'm going to share it, and maybe some support can be brought up to that band. So,
like Seth Werkheiser says, I'd rather have 150 followers that are engaged with what I'm doing than 10,000 people that click on a thumbs up, because it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, like, you know, I have with the Young Teachers fan page, you know, there's like, I don't know, 400 or 500 listener or likes on it. I don't get 400 or 500 people getting a hold of me and talking to me and telling me how good the record is. In fact, I think maybe 20 of those people own the album, you know, and it's that kind of weird disconnect with like clicking and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if the As the Story Grows Facebook page has 1,000 likes if 900 of them aren't engaging in some way and letting us know, hey, we're listening, we're on the other side.
Right.
You know, if you like a page and then you move away and then there's no actual connection, it's kind of pointless. So,
exactly.
So when we get these emails, you know, we're definitely going to share any interesting things we find in these emails. And, you know, if the show grows into a thing where we get, you know, 100 emails a week, obviously we're going to be a little selective and
It's going to be a long podcast.
Yeah, we're going to read every single letter, and we're going to have an 8-hour episode. It's just the way it is. But we're going to switch to an audiobook format. No, but
you can find us on Audible.
You can find us on Audible. Yeah. But
this week's live 53 email read can be brought to you on Audible. My God. But,
I think it would be interesting down the road to have like sort of a feedback segment and read the emails that we can have conversations with. But right now we get so little feedback, we're going to share the feedback. So, you know, that's the way, and I really appreciated his email, and it has a lot more to do with that than anything. I just think it was really cool.
Let me read this email then. My name's Jerry. I just wanted to drop a line to say that I'm a big fan of the podcast. Every morning I drive my girlfriend to work in Oakland, and I live in Portland, Oregon. I'm totally kidding. That's not what he wrote. I live in San Francisco. Terrible. Can you imagine the commute if he had to drive? Wow. And I kind of look forward to sitting in traffic coming back over the bridge so I can listen to the podcast, or at least it has made it more bearable. I would imagine the traffic is just terrible. I dig all the guests that you've had on so far. And then he puts in parentheses, Bob Nana, hell yeah. See, I got made fun of for having too much emo on here. Now I'm beating you guys senseless with metal bands. Anyway,
I don't know who would have ever done that to you. Anyway,
they have such interesting stories and ideas. I had a similar kind of Christian upbringing and pretty much had every tooth and nail face down release. Basically, shopped for music out of HM magazine. Sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Here's exactly why you wanted me to read this. I am a huge Tantrum fan. Tantrum of the Muse, for those that don't know.
And, oh, you don't say.
And the new shut up. And the new Unteachers record is awesome. I'm
very happy.
Picked up the vinyl from Veritas. If you liked it that much, then you should know that I really had a lot to do with the songwriting. Steven was along for the ride at that point. Wanted to say thanks.
The entire album was written around the drum beats.
Correct. Wanted to say thanks for what you guys are doing and what you've made. I also wanted to pass along some music to you. My band, Our Fathers, just recorded 4 songs as a proof of concept with Drew Owens, Alone, From Indian Lakes, Hearts Like Lions, A Lot of Birds, and wanted to share them with you guys. And we're going to play a song at the end of the show, so hang in there.
Yeah.
For this.
Well, at the very end of the Secret Cutter conversation, we'll close out with that. So stay tuned for Our Fathers.
He closes with, thanks again for doing what you do. Thanks again, Jerry. Jerry, you are very welcome. We are having a blast doing this. Don't care about listenership. Don't care about numbers. Don't care about any of that. It's emails like that that make me sit in my basement with the air conditioner off, sweating my ass off to get you guys something else to listen to. I know you can buy a cheeseburger anywhere, but you come here for the flair, and I forget the rest of that quote. Damn it. That would have been really funny if I remember that.
That's an Office Space quote, right?
Right. I can't get nothing past you. You're like a hockey goalie. Woo! You're
at Tchotchke's, you can get an Uncheaters record anywhere. But at Tchotchke's, exactly. No. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you supporting Uncheaters as well. We're extremely DIY, and any support we get for that record is awesome. And
yeah, man.
Very, very glad to hear you dig it. So thanks, man. And we'll be playing your stuff at the end. So
on to the Secret Cutter. Back to the next chapter of As the Story Grows. My name's Trav, and Steven can't be with us tonight, but that's all right, because I've replaced him with 3 men. I have 3 men in my basement here, and they call themselves Secret Cutter. You guys want to introduce yourself?
I'm Evan, guitar.
Evan, guitar.
Ekam, vocals.
All right.
I'm small. No. I'm Jared.
I'm drums.
All right. Saw you guys back for your album release party in February of 2014. Think. Does that sound right?
Yes, something like that.
I was going to see Carved Up. I had no idea who you guys were, and you guys leveled the place. I've actually never been. I was never at Burners before, and wow, that I pity whoever had to clean the floor after that show. It was
slick floor. They pay someone to do it.
Yeah. Okay. Good. But man, the show killed it, and I just wanted to talk to you guys. I definitely I was telling you guys upstairs, but I'll tell the listeners now. Trying to pull local into the podcast so I can spread it out and let the world hear what the greater Lehigh Valley has to do with their music scene. And I thought you guys were pretty impressive, so I pulled y'all in here, and you guys ate my mom's stuffed peppers.
They were great. Thank
her very much. That's what happens when you show up early. You get free food. And so anyway, I just wanted to introduce you guys to our modest little listenership. And you guys could tell us how you guys got started, where it all got going for you. I mean, you can take it all the way far back. It's like, who taught you? Where did you learn guitar? What made you want to be a vocalist? Who got your first drum set? We can go really crazy far back if you want to. But let's just start. I mean, Jared is the guy that I met first. How old are you?
I'm 32.
32. How long have you been playing drums?
Probably 16 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you asking me? Because I asked you first.
Right. Yeah. And I'm terrible at math.
16. Well, that would be half your life around sure. 16. Yep. Around when you learned to drive, you started picking up the drums.
Okay. Well,
does that sound right?
It was more than.
More than 16.
Yeah. I started around 13.
That's gotcha.
That's how bad I am at math.
That's when I started. All right. Good. How about you? What's your musical background? I never know what to ask vocalists.
I hate everything. You know.
Perfect.
I'm a quiet person, and I let everything build up inside me, and then I let it all out when we play.
Lyrics are not happy. Yeah, I read them on the Bandcamp site, and yes,
I mean I keep it all in, and it makes me explode when we play. So
pretty explosive live set too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
That's what I want people to hate us.
Perfect.
And hate each other. You know? It's all about love, but hate at the same time.
I think I understand what you mean. It sounds backwards, but I get
yeah.
it. And what's the deal with you with starting a guitar and everything?
I started playing guitar when I was 11.
11?
Yeah. I am 39 now. So
what made you, who got you started? What was the?
I would say it was Slash.
Right on.
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah?
So 11 and a half, 12, something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I mean, Slash was. I saw that Welcome to the Jungle video, and that yep. was it for me.
Yeah.
Life
yeah.
ruined.
Yeah, yeah, that. Yeah. Guns N' Roses is a popular answer.
Started earlier with, you know, when I was like younger, with like the License to Ill, Beastie Boys.
Right on.
And The Cure, actually.
Yeah.
Your age, you know. Stuff that like, you'd buy at the, you know, department store.
Right.
Stuff that was readily available.
Right. Like the good stuff, but still popular enough to be a Kmart. Yeah.
And that kind of continued on to the thrash metal
mm-hmm.
and, you know, punk rock.
Right on. Yeah. So that leads us to here. Now, two of you guys, and I honestly don't know which two of you guys were in October Skyline.
Yeah, me and this fellow over here, Ekum.
You and Ekum. Okay. I've heard of October. I never heard them.
Daughter's ripoff.
At one time, we were a Daughter's ripoff, for sure. But that's when he wasn't in the band.
Yeah, don't
we got
put me
a new,
in that
new guy
category.
Who... You know, took over.
It was good. Well,
if you're going to rip off a band, though, Daughters is kind of awesome.
But
it's actually interesting.
Evan
put out their first 7-inch. You know, I ran a record label at the time, and I put out their first 7-inch and their first LP.
Joke's on
and
you,
and they still owe me money for the record.
I wasn't in it.
Yeah, you still owe me money. You do too.
So, do you keep more money when Secret Cutter actually makes money? Are you still...
I keep it all now.
Are you pocketing?
I have a tally of what they owe me from the first OS stuff. And
working off their bill?
No.
Oh, man, you guys are so...
Everything's...
You're in some weird work release program in Secret Cutter.
Yeah,
it's
he's
terrible.
Holding us hostage.
That's funny.
Somehow.
What was the name of that label? Tell me about that.
It was called Doppelganger Records.
All right.
I actually ran it with Jamie, who ran
Double Decker. Sure. Yeah.
We put out their record, First Pearls and Brass record.
Mm-hmm.
Carpenter Ant, which is Ray, who's in Tile now.
Oh, right on.
And the Ultimate Warriors LP.
Right.
Jamie actually did that before, and then we did a repress of that record.
I've never heard Ultimate Warriors. I know
it's
of
the guys from
Piss Jeans.
Yeah.
Oh, right on. Okay, I got it.
Very, you know,
is that post Foe? Or is
post
that...
Foe? I mean, Foe kind of still does stuff.
Kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he was really going head on at that point anymore.
Gotcha.
You know, when he was putting out, you know, a record every couple months.
Right.
Yeah, I would say he wasn't really. He was doing more of those archives, I think.
Okay.
The LE archive stuff. So cool if you ever saw those CDRs of like.
No.
local bands and that were.
Well, I had the one Foe comp that everybody has.
You did like a CDR series of like bands that were, you know, local bands never really put out vinyl or like live recordings from like, you know, Weston and bigger bands, but you put out a lot of cool stuff from like the 90s and 80s.
Right.
That never really made it, you know, into got a lot of younger kids into like, you know, the history of the Valley type thing.
Yeah. I did not know about the CDR thing. That's interesting.
It was Lehigh Valley Archives, I believe it was called.
Okay.
But anyway,
got to Google
regressing. But yeah, that was how I met these guys. Was well, not really. I drank with Ekum a lot, I think. Right?
Blackout.
What? Blackout.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That whole light area of my life is a little hazy because you know, a lot of people. There's still people who know me from that era that I don't remember talking to them ever.
So, yeah, we all hung out. No, not as much as we do now, obviously. But then we met up and we had like let's start some stuff. Evan had some work in his mind and he wanted to get out, and we practiced at my house in Bethlehem and mm-hmm. played this riffs, and we're like, Jesus, we need to play this stuff.
Okay.
And that was our first 7-inch we put out, but when we first heard it, when he played the riffs down, and we were just like floored by how he was shredding, because I never heard him play.
right.
Floored.
Oh, God. Yeah. Erased. No, but it was when we heard it, it was just like a breath of fresh air. You know, we've been out of the loop with music. I mean, I have. I was in some other stuff, but
right. Stuff.
Yeah, but you know, that's how it all started.
That was something, 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 then you're not listening. I forget the name of the 7.
If you don't hate yourself, you are not paying attention.
That's it. That's
and
it.
And we actually recorded that 7-inch in the base in that basement.
How about that?
Going back to drinking, I was like, really, it was late at night, and I said that to someone. and a friend of mine wrote it down. She had like a quote book, and she read it back to me the next day. I'm like, drunk and like that. Book.
That's good. Yeah. I said that?
Whoa, don't remember.
It's pretty funny.
What happened with October, October Skyline? It kind of just...
Well, when we first formed, it was me and Ecom and a couple other guys.
Right.
Then we started to play a lot more, and stuff kind of... We didn't really... I don't know. You couldn't really do much.
I couldn't anymore. Do much, and they were going into like a lot more...
Just weirder.
Faster, like, weirder, noisy stuff, and I'm more about... I love what we're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
More slow and bits and pieces of grind,
mm-hmm.
rather than 45-second grind song, which I love to listen to. But I mean, for me, I wanted to do what Evan brought to the table, and I'm like, when he played it, I was like, this is what I've been talking about. What I want to do.
I feel you.
It's reversing it and having it longer song, not that long, but longer songs, doomy and bits and pieces of grind.
Right.
You know.
Yep, I do know what you mean. You guys just played the most recent show with the band that opened up the entire night. It was called Kids.
Yeah.
And it was like, by the time I started getting into it, they were like, we're done. Next song.
Yeah,
and I was like, okay. And I know what you mean. It's more fun. I would imagine it's more fun to listen to than play.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you get going, it's like...
exactly.
Hit a wall, stop the energy. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was like a mutual thing, him leaving, and then October Skyline went on a little bit more, and then eventually broke up. And
gotcha.
Then we just kind of got to talking and let's play, see what happens. And then Evan brought the sickness.
Sickness. We could edit in some kind of a after that, make it really dramatic. So, was it a, this is such a hokey question, but I'm curious, so I'm going to ask it. Was it a conscious decision not to have a bass player, or was it just, we can't find the right dude?
Yeah, it was conscious to not have a bass player. In my mind it was.
Now, most bands I know, I've seen metal bands go out without bass players, and most of the time it's been, we were on tour, the guy quit, and whatever, we'll finish without him.
Hmm.
But to consciously go into it without a bass player, I think is kind of unique.
Well, for me, it was just kind of not really getting along with anyone else.
Okay.
I'm kind of a control freak.
Okay.
About stuff.
What?
Yeah.
Not you.
I don't know. Just like...
You're kidding.
I'm not trying to pin on anyone else, but it seems like most of the other stuff I was in before never really got where I wanted to go.
Okay.
And a lot of that was on me. But it just seemed like, you know, it always ended up where you're kind of cross purposes with another guitar player.
Okay.
They want to go in different directions and, you know, and then it kind of has it, you get that vibe where a band, you can tell who's writing the songs. You know, like, well, this is obviously this guy's song and this is obviously, and then it loses the whole tone of the band, you know, like.
Gotcha.
And even like with like, really bigger rock records from the 70s, you'll see that, you know, you can see the early stuff where they were a cohesive, you know, thinking together.
Right.
And then as publishing at the end of the 70s, you know, they're getting bigger now. The bass player wants his songwriting publishing so he can get paid. You know, you have those
eventually
albums
that you
just
have to
be like, what?
You have to let Ringo sing. And yeah, so gotcha.
For me, there was like, I just had an idea of what I wanted to, where this, I wanted this to go.
Okay.
And I just thought the best way to do it would be with no one else, with except the bare bones of what you need, you know.
Right. And I again, I told you guys upstairs.
I don't know if it was really that much thought out at the time. But
right.
That's the gist of it as it maybe developed over time.
It kind of just happened at the time.
Like, but I don't think we ever really talked about
unnecessary
to have a bass.
Right.
It just flowed how we had
I remember a specific conversation of like, you had that, he had his son 2/5. I'm like, there's the bass player.
I took a trip to New York to get a really big Sun bass cabinet. And then I brought it to practice once and we hooked it up. You know, the speakers were dry rotted, but it kind of spit out the sound for a couple minutes. We're right. Yep.
That'll do.
And then I replaced the speakers.
Right. Yeah. Aha. I noticed, when I went to see you guys for the first time,
I was trying to figure out where the bass player was. I saw you guys getting ready and kind of warming up, and you know, tweaking snare and stuff like that, and you tuning, and you kind of walking in circles or whatever. And I was like, I guess the bass player's taking a leak. I don't know where the guy is. And then you guys started, and I was like, oh, guess they don't need one. But you guys have more equipment than some five-piece bands that I've seen. Oh, my God. And then you actually run – you actually kind of uniquely – I mean, I've heard it done before, but you kind of brought it to a level that made me pay attention to it. You kind of play the microphone while you're not singing as like this weird theremin going in the background.
That's a good analogy. I mean, we don't have – it's a guitar and there's no bass, so – what I do now, I mean, I don't know if it was like that when we played that record release, but I have a PA. Was it? Yeah. All right. Well, I have that PA, and then it's pretty much I use the house PA, the mic mine like a guitar, and for parts that we want to fill in a little bit or do whatever, I have a foot pedal to make more noise. Feedback, make your ears bleed.
Yep.
Destruction.
So loud.
But I do not use foot pedal for vocals, just so you know.
Right. No, they're legit. I watched them. I've seen you twice now. They're legit.
I think we are breaking in one part, though.
Okay.
Right? We have one part right now in a new song that he will be using distortion on his voice.
Where you hit the auto-tune button.
Yeah,
that's horrible.
Totally.
Okay.
But no, it's just one of those things where you say, let's just give it a try when we were jamming and practicing, you know, and it was... I got the feeling, like, I know my speaker, like, my speakers and where you put it, and it's like, now it's kind of like when I put it somewhere, I know exactly what the sound's going to sound like. Pretty much. So it's like my little instrument. Yep. Because I'm talentless.
Right. Most of the vocalists are.
Yeah.
Which song is it on the album that ends with just the big, solid, palm-muted riff and the drums just kind of going in that weird off groove and you just going, just the theremin.
That would be Headache Ball. Yep.
That is a real, if you have your headphones, if you have your buds up too loud, that's really painful.
That was the point, hence the title, you know.
Right. Yep.
Slide to make a noise in the first part because it sounded like it needed because it kicks in. Because in this, when you're doing with a three piece like this, it's like you're playing, and then you know, when you have that song where usually your bass and your guitar would come in, the guy starts the riff, where it doesn't have that,
right?
So then I put this thing like that, and then he started going, I can do that, you know, I can do that. And then a Headache Ball came around. Is I remembering this right? Because that's how I kind of remember. It kind of organically kind of just...
It was a happy accident.
Yeah, but
it was
but, like... And it kind of grew that. Like kind of just normally. It wasn't like a thing where it's like, you know, we're writing down, you know, big stack of amps, you know, mic feedback. No, it just kind of went in that direction.
It just worked.
Yeah.
And I think it's live, it adds a...
Yeah, it fills in what he can't do, you know, because he's just... You can only do so much.
It's got 10 fingers. So, yeah. Hands are full all the time. Yeah.
And I just think it adds like an overall like tone to it. Too. Mm-hmm. It's like kind of, I think it's fun to watch in general.
Totally.
You know, because it has that kind of like, is that kind of,
yeah.
I think that's interesting.
And yep. I agree with you.
And he's getting to a point now, you're getting to a point now where, it's like you can, you know, like where you're getting like the tone off of it now. So
like a theremin.
It's getting you know to exactly point, where like he has the position down. Yeah. He can build it up. And, and it's... You know,
yeah,
it's like an instrument.
Yep,
I think it's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool, and I think your set is kind of unique too because, the impression that I got was, it wasn't like, oh, these guys are going to suck, but it was more like, okay, there's only one guitarist, there's no bass player. All right, show me what you got. Like this, you know, is this going to be the typical? He already has the guitar track pre-recorded, and they're playing to a click and that kind of thing, and it sounds bigger than it is. Like the whole pumping crowd noise in the football stadium thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And about two songs in, I was like, no. This guy's doing everything by himself, and he's busy, and he's jumping around.
That's not something I would ever do.
Well, it's out there.
Kind of sequencing or anything. Yeah.
No, it's out there. Yeah,
yeah, and I heard stories about that too. It's pretty never to go that way. But yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
People do that.
There's a lot of laptops on stage.
Yeah.
Just feel like, you know, keep that for the pop artists.
Well, I use a lot
of
droning notes too.
Mm-hmm.
Like droning stuff to kind of give the impression of like a whole, like a bigger array of things going on. Like
right.
Using open chords a little more to fill things up. If I was just using straight power chords on everything, it would probably be a little less dynamic, I think.
Right. Yeah. It would just be, it is what it is. Yeah. It's kind of level right there. Do you do any looping? Nothing. Wow. It's all like organically being
made
as you're doing.
I don't use any pedals either. I just use it to store.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah. I don't use any.
I was too scared to look down at your feet. I had to pay attention.
I'll use like neck manipulations to make any kind of bending or anything I want. Like
right.
That I won't use. I don't like pedals. They're annoying. And just one more thing I got
to
set up.
One more thing to trip over.
We always make the joke when we go to a show and you see like the giant pedal where it's like one day I'm just going to hide it from the band.
They won't know what to do.
See what you can do now.
What do you got now?
I mean, I like that sound. Don't get me wrong. Like,
My
Bloody Valentine was one of my favorite bands ever.
Oh, and my God, yeah.
I mean, those pedal boards is like, that reverse reverb is like awesome. But
For
me, it's just, I'm just too lazy, I guess.
And carved up, too. They killed
it. Yeah, I mean, I'm not against it.
Oh, my God,
you know,
it's
just totally, it's a cool thing. I'm not trying to make fun of it. But,
No, actually, I
am making fun of it. But, you know, it's just not for me.
No, yeah. It is. Yeah, I mean, it's a different style. I understand that. That's really cool. Your album came out on your own label.
That's right.
Yeah, pretty much.
Tell us more about that. Like, what is it? I mean,
we didn't have anyone.
Yeah,
to no put one else it wanted out, to do so it. So we're like, okay, we'll just fund it ourselves and slap a name on it, and you know, I don't know. I mean, we talked about having other releases on it, but I don't know. Maybe that will happen again. You know,
I guess that's what I'm mostly curious about is the difference between somebody just, you know, recording something in their own house and putting it out there versus we made our own label. I was curious if it's
that's the mastermind about this whole thing. Sorry to cut you off, but
go ahead.
I was just to say, Jarrett's the mastermind of recording this and whoever other bands he does. So everything that was on self-titled, he recorded all of it, you know, and then we just got it mastered. But we have the luxury of recording our stuff while we're writing it, and so we can just, we're not on a time limit. We don't have to pay like while we're waiting and be like pushing shit out that we don't want to be putting out.
Right.
So it makes it easier to.
It makes it easier for. It's like.
Yeah.
You know.
There's like a flow state that happens when you can just have an ease about recording and not be under the clock. And that's why I have a studio, because I did that once.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we went to Don's place and it was just.
It's nerve wracking.
Stiff and awkward. And it's just like, yeah, I'd rather do this myself. Like,
make
it much more easy. And
plus, you're the drummer, so because you're noisy, we're always the ones that have to have their own studio. Because you're setting off grenades in the house. You can't just put it in a closet somewhere.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to construct it correctly.
But I mean, I don't know. Someday we might come across another band and be like, hey, let's put this out on our own label. Maybe I don't know.
All right,
we'll see.
That's why I was curious about it.
To answer your question a little more, I mean, it's not to say it's a label. I think it's you know, glamorizing a little bit. It's really just what we put on the back of that, because I like the term Bethlehem Rust.
Right.
You know, and I just like, and just instead of just putting something on there that's, there's like no title.
Right.
You know, you might as well just put it on there, you know, and put a catalog number on it to get it, you know, distributors or whatever.
Right.
You
know,
that was really what it, you know, I'd like to put out records by other bands at some point, but we have enough going for with our own stuff.
Yes, you do.
And to get back to what he was saying about him in the studio, I mean, Jarrett having the studio is really what we could kind of afford it in general.
Right.
Because if we would have put down, I don't know, $4,000 or $5,000 to record a record, I mean, there's no way we would have been able to put it out ourselves. But when you're recording for free, I mean, we mastered the thing for, what, $200?
Yep. Yeah.
You know, a friend of ours, Treville, did all the graphic design for free.
Nice.
The picture on the front cover is a friend of mine from Lancaster who
let me have it for free. Too.
You know, so there was a lot of people involved in it that really helped us out. You know, and
community
gave their time and their,
it's all about,
you know, and you know, people along the way getting us, you know, getting it out there. And it's been really pretty cool, you know, it's gotten out there, you know, kind of all over the world, you know, and it's cool that we did it kind of ourselves.
Yes.
And
it was very cool.
And honestly, we're in the black, and we've made a little bit of money on it.
Good.
At this point. Yeah. And I can say it, you know,
didn't expect that
on a label we never would have made.
No,
sent one,
nope.
You know, not this, you know, but you know, there's a whole level of exposure there you get with that. But for us, I mean, it's really, we really couldn't ask for a better turnout. Well, it was always better, but we're very happy.
We're surprised kind of
where it went, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't expecting, you know, how things kind of turned out with it. So it was cool.
And not to say that we're like, you know, we're a phenomenon, but it's really, it's gotten out there pretty well. And
no, you are. You know, that's why you're on the podcast.
Yeah.
Phenomenon. See,
we've hit the top now.
Yeah. This is the ceiling. Yeah. It's all,
it's all down.
Bad from news. It's the secret cutter is falling apart after this.
It's just use your illusion after this. Appetite's over. It's all use your illusion.
Bethlehem Democracy. That'll probably be the name of the, probably the title.
That's the ground floor.
Yeah.
That's the end of it.
I remember at the record release party, my buddy Brian went over and bought. I was too busy watching the show and just I was watching. Like I said, I'm gonna be 40. It's been a long time since I was a local show where people are doing cartwheels. I was like, this is kind of rad. Like, this is the old days. It's like going to see Snapcase of a season, you know. And my buddy Brian came over and he held up his vinyl, like he held it up so I could see it. And I was kind of like, what? Like, there's no words. No one can hear anything because we the microphone. And he takes the vinyl and he slides the record out, and it's the brightest traffic cone orange record I've ever seen. And he's like, there's only a few left. And I was like, okay. And I walked straight over and I bought one. So I have the orange one right there. Because I know you guys only pressed 100 of those, right? Yeah. I got one. But pretty neat.
Just remember, if you can't get 500 people to buy your record, you can get 250 to buy it twice. That's the colored vinyl in general. That's everyone's everyone's angle of colored vinyl.
Right on.
That's why every label does 100 on. They always do 100 on this color, 100 on that color. Because guys like me will buy both.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Because you're that guy.
I'm that guy.
Mm-hmm. That
got to fill the wall.
That record that we made at 300, and it was 100 of three different colors. And we'd have not sold many of those things, but there were a couple people that bought all three of them. We were like, yo, you spent $45 on three of our records. You're nuts. We didn't even do that. I don't even have that many copies, but that's so pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
When you're that guy.
Yeah. It's got to have all the colors. I don't know if it's hanging on the walls or what. Yeah,
you have the first press of 26.
Are you guys big vinyl nerds?
I am.
You sound like it.
But I don't have as much as I've sold it a couple times.
Yeah.
You know, from quitting jobs.
I have a very small collection of just staple records.
I like vinyl. Yeah. I mean, I haven't been buying any, but much lately, but
I mean, it's my favorite medium, but I don't like pulling up for buying.
It's also the most costly one right now.
It's
the hardest one to steal.
Yeah.
It's
the best.
It is. It's great. That's one thing that we always talk about, with whoever we're talking about on the podcast, is just having, the kids nowadays, they just don't, they're not going to get it. They're never going to get it. They can pull their phone out, instantly communicate with anything for the entire planet, hit a button and have music in their phone instantly. And it's compressed and it's squashed and it's an MP3 and they're not hearing the warmth of it.
It's horrible.
Yeah, and they can have it right now and they don't have the experience of going, hey, Jamie. Hey, Chris, sure. You know what I mean? Like, they don't know what that feels like and be like, you know, oh, dude, you like that? You should check that out. Like, I'm always going to remember walking into Double Decker with intentions of looking for a new amp for my record player because I wasn't happy with the one that I had. And I walked out with Kiss It Goodbye on white because I was like, I didn't know it came out on white. And it was still shrink wrap from like 90 whatever, 5. You gotta be kidding me. So, you know, I'm never gonna forget that. Whereas how many digital albums did you hit a button? Where were you when you bought it? I don't know, dude. I was in the bathroom, the toilet or something.
Vinyl's really making a comeback.
It really is.
It really is. And
I'm glad folks like Jamie and the one in Kutztown I always go to, Young Ones. I've been buying from Young Ones since I was a kid. Forever. Yeah, and I'm glad they stuck to their guns. I mean, they're selling video games and CDs and movies too, but I'm glad
gotta keep the doors open.
Sure. They gotta eat. But I'm glad that they're I'm glad they stuck to their guns and they're actually kind of enjoying a little bit of a resurgence now. But so you guys all of a sudden, I mean, I don't want to sound like some ignorant new fan, but I am, because I like I said, I didn't even know what you guys sounded like until I was watching you.
That was a year ago.
So I've been around for a year, but since then, every time I see a tweet or any kind of correspondence from you guys, you're going to New York a lot.
Yeah.
Seem to have made a foothold up there at St. Vitus.
Right. Well, yeah. We have a couple. There's people that book shows independently of the place.
Right.
That book in there that we have connections with that like our band and stuff.
Right on.
And you know, look, it's not like we're going up there and it's you know, red carpet or anything. It's just punk shows, man. It's just punk shows.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, I mean, we try to, we make a valid effort. Like, we have a conscious effort not to play our hometown very much.
Yeah, definitely.
You do not want to overdo it.
Yeah. Right. And with all due respect, we're from here. This is Bethlehem. There is still a little bit of a, oh, wow, they're going to New York. Like, there is still a little bit of an upgrade. You know,
I mean, if you go there, first got a show there, we're like, yes.
Yeah.
You know, but then you're like, oh, it's just a show.
It's just a show. You know, and
then,
right.
Then I just get mad about having to go through the Lincoln Tunnel.
Yeah.
Dude, it's the worst.
Twice.
Like,
you know.
Man, I could be at home watching The Wire again right now.
Yeah. You could start at the beginning of the tunnel, and by the time you get through it, you could have ended an episode of The Wire, but you just sat
in
there.
Yeah. If anybody out there wants to drive us to the shows, and they can drive our van and see if you can deal with Evan with road rage.
It's tell out there. Tell us about the road rage.
I have terrible road rage.
Is that it?
Point
covered.
Where, I mean, I won't even. I can't even say the things I say when I'm driving.
I make stuff
up. I really.
It's that bad.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
Like, I just, man, something about. I just, you're in back of someone and you're just like driving, like, you know, I'm trying to get to work, and they're just, oh, you know, we'll get there when I get there. I'm like,
it's comical.
Kill you,
cruising in the left lane.
That's my. I can't stand it.
Yeah, that's the worst. I don't like that either.
55 in the left lane should get pulled over.
We had we had a driver for two shows, and that was it. Couldn't handle it.
I don't have a lot more. I just wanted to. I wanted to know what's next for Secret Cutter. Is there any sort of like this is setting up like an interview. I don't like how these questions are coming out. Tell me what's going on next for the band, but. Are there any plans? Is there any?
We can go back a set if you want. The drunks in this band are me and Ego.
Oh, okay. All right. We want to make sure
that. We're the Irishmen.
I don't drink as much as I used to.
Okay.
Neither do I.
But there was a time when, you know, it was. We can put them back.
Okay.
Pretty drastically.
I'm just too cheap of a date and I hate the hangover.
Jared's the guy. He drinks three beers and he starts getting all
happy. You see me drunk.
Yeah. Yeah,
two or three times, and you're always like, "Man, you're awesome." But it's like,
yeah, you are. You're better when you're drunk.
Yeah. I can't handle
it. I'm kind of the same way. I'm Irish, and I'm kind of the same way. Whereas, it depends if I ate.
Oh yeah,
I'll hang with you. Yeah. No problem. If I'm on an empty stomach and the room starts to spin, I'm out. I don't care how much fun everybody's having, but once things start spinning on me, I don't want to be that guy.
The key for me is to try to stop before the asshole switch goes on.
Oh, okay.
That's a big thing for me.
Yeah, that's why you guys quit.
Because I'm pretty disagreeable in general.
Got it.
If I catch a bad vibe when I'm drinking, it's not very pleasant.
Got it.
People around me.
Play damage control the next day.
And I basically hung out with people that are exactly like that. Most of all the drinkers. That's why I met Ekin, really.
Right.
You know, because, you know, when you're in that phase of your life, people like that are great to be around.
Gotcha.
Because, you know, they're fun.
Yeah.
And it's always a good story.
That was whiskey.
But, yeah, actually, now I try not to drink too much before shows. A lot of times that doesn't work.
Gotcha.
Because I get bored, like waiting. That's really what it is. If I could just, you know, when we like we'll open a show somewhere, it's fine. Like if we're opening, I can have a beer and just go on.
It's
and be cool.
It's a plague with the metal genre. Why did 9 bands have to play? And everybody gets 23 minutes.
Because that's going to be the show. That show for that show that night. That's the show. That they're gonna all that everyone's gonna show up and you're gonna get your big break because that's why
your big break.
That's how bands think,
right?
We missed this show. I can't believe.
You missed it. Relapse and Metal Blade was there.
They're both there, handing out money all night.
You missed it. You blew it.
Do you have a band? Do you want to start one? Here's your record contract.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Not how it works, kids.
Man, you were blacked out in the fucking dumpster.
How it works.
That's my story.
But. How it should work. That was short. That was good. How it should work is how you guys are doing it. In my opinion, you should do the whole, you know, I hate to beat the phrase up, DIY, but yeah, I mean, I have all the software and interface and microphone cords and everything in this room, and it can't cost more than $700. Why on earth would you spend $5,000 for somebody else to do it?
I mean, this day and age, it's so easy to, you know, have your own studio.
Yeah, and you can literally buy the equipment and not even know how to turn it on. As soon as you can find YouTube,
man,
there's some dude on there to show you how to turn it on.
Oh, it's great.
Learn.
The access of information.
Crack one open, sit down and take notes and write, you know. Yeah, but I hear what you're saying. that's one thing I actually don't like about the genre, the heavy stuff that I've always been into, is like, man, I can't wait to see the band that I paid to see. It's like six more bands. I can't leave. my stamp sweated off. Oh crap, I'm stuck here. It's like 100 degrees and there's somebody's son's band is playing. I'm like, oh my god, can't it just be three, short and sweet, get it over with?
Yeah, three or four max. Yeah.
Max.
No more.
Yeah.
You know, those six band shows are rough.
You guys should get the Kung Fu Necktie. You have to be done by 11.
I know the owner there, actually. Yeah. Chickenhead, yeah.
I just went to see Coliseum there, and they were like, we have to be done by 11, so this is going to be an early night. It was Child Bite, Coliseum, out. Yeah. And they rolled DJ the rest of the night. I was home from Philly by 12:15. Oh, yeah. I was like, this is fantastic.
We played with Tomorrow on the downstairs a long time ago.
Yeah.
Their comeback thing.
Yeah,
that was a long time.
That was a long time ago. Yeah.
That was, what, 2000?
Yeah, it was a while ago. But yeah, no, Kung Fu, they're good people up there, man.
Like, mm-hmm.
Bartenders, everybody's good up there.
Right on. They gave me a Coliseum poster off the wall.
Oh, yeah.
So, I like them. Good mm-hmm. guys.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice.
So, I need some stories. It's the whole point of this thing. It's called As the Story Grows. I gotta hear some interesting anecdotes. I want to hear something insane that nobody else heard before. Mm-hmm. We don't have to get personal. You don't have to go crazy. You were telling you were telling a little something. You had to visit a doctor a few times.
Not mentally.
Well, I did.
That was a long time ago with the mental thing. But no, totally off the music aspects. But,
that's fine. Let's get off of it. It's boring anyway.
I ride BMX bikes, freestyle stuff. And the other day, actually July 5th, because it scarred me. But I ride freestyle stuff, and I got my bars stabbed me in my inner thigh. And I have a gigantic cyst/blood clot, whatever you want to call it, next to my whatchamacallit.
Gotcha.
And I wanted to make sure that it wasn't a blood clot. So I went to two different doctors. They don't really know. They said it's not a blood clot. But now it looks like I have... Since I'm Irish, it looks like I have two whatchamacallits.
Oh no.
So that's all I got for you.
Two whatchamacallit.
Two.
Does that mean you have four total or three? That? You lost me with the math.
Whatchamacallit means cock, but I don't want to use bad words.
You can use cock
on a podcast. Yeah, it's okay.
It's all right.
Fuck shit.
No, it's a big lump next to my my cock, so luckily it didn't hit that. But yeah, it's pretty big.
Huh.
And, but
the lump.
Your lump.
Or the... Okay.
No, the lump. I'm Irish. Remember I told you?
Right.
So yes. You got to go back to the...
See, this fan, instead of giving each other the finger...
Yeah, we give the pinky.
We give the pinky.
The Irish curse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so, look at that.
Like, if you're doing something that, you know, you're like, you're bragging too much or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Or you're being me.
Yeah.
You go to him and you're like...
Yeah.
You know, you give him the pinky.
Me and...
And I have the noises.
Oh, that's creepy.
Me and Evan always give the pinky to each other. We give the hook, too.
I'm not Irish.
Yeah.
I'm not whipping my pinky out for anything. What was your story?
Oh, boy. What was my story? Jeez. Well, yeah, I went crazy for a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Just...
Can you be more vague?
Yeah, I know.
Like, legitimately.
Time-wise.
Like,
go for it.
Not like I went crazy last night and had seven, you know.
No, I buried CDs in a field type shit.
Yeah, my
wow.
Yeah, my Green Machine Damned album.
Yeah, that's my split.
CD. Oh. Do you know where it is? Can you go get it?
He buried it in
somewhere in Danielsville. I don't know.
Oh, forget it.
Such a good album. Sorry, go ahead.
Can you go more? Yeah,
I lost my dad when I was 13.
Okay.
And I basically took to drums as like an escape.
Okay.
Didn't deal with a lot of things for about 8 years, and then had to deal with
about
8 years worth of things I should have dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of went crazy for a month, or actually 6 months.
A month or six?
Yeah.
No and judgment then, here. That's
just,
all right.
Just kind of got my head back together and chilled out.
Good.
But it was a scary time in my life. It was the hardest, craziest thing I've ever been through.
Dealing with the loss of dad 8 years later.
Yeah, and just not knowing how to deal with it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Basically became schizophrenic for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And thought the whole world was against me. Mm-hmm. Made up tons of shit. Oh, really? Are they listening now?
And that's what makes you such a rad-ass drummer.
Yeah.
Is exactly what
I dove into drums because it was something that just gave me comfort. It was... And even to this day, it's more of a therapy for me. a meditation, whatever. Been playing
since I was 13 also, I understand.
So, yeah.
Not for those motivations, but I don't... I'm not saying guitarists don't walk away tired, but usually they walk away tired mentally and stressed and stuff like that. But, I mean, I used to play those things to the point where it was like...
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, God. I'm too tired to be mad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, it's October Skyline Days. The first song of the set, I was done. I'm like, do we have to play the rest of the fucking set? And then, but it felt, you know, it's always...
Well, the good news is you only had to play four more songs because there's 9 more bands. So,
we played our 3 minutes.
You played your 3.5 minutes.
Right. Yeah, 40-second songs.
Am I allowed to ask a little bit more of a detail about what you said?
No, absolutely.
Where did burying CDs come in? I don't mean to laugh at that, but that's kind of funny just to hear it isolated, you know?
I have just all these thoughts and emotions flooding in and not really being able to process them fast enough left me in this very, very, very vulnerable state of mind where I just had a lot of guilt for past things and this and that. And then the radio started talking about me and I went into work and everyone's staring at me. And then, but this is all hallucination.
Sure. I understand.
And, I just left work. I just left work. I got my car. I didn't know where the fuck I was going to go. I drove wherever. I work in Northampton.
Mm-hmm.
I just drove and I ended up in Danielsville.
That's up there.
The radio was tracking me. It was fucking nuts.
Okay.
And I had to like almost strip my identity away and I had to bury my CDs. I had to strip the fucking stickers off my car because they're after me. I don't know why.
Okay, all right.
And I could have drove my car off a cliff because I wanted it to stop. I almost did too.
Wow.
And I gathered enough rationality to knock on this old lady's door and I said, call the police. And I just went back in my car. She looked freaked the fuck out.
Well, with all due respect.
Yeah, and so the cops showed up and they took me to the hospital and I went to Quakertown for about 8 days. And
okay. That's all you said? Call the police and walk back to your car?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would have called the police.
She looked scared as shit.
Yeah.
But even in the psych ward, they were all against me. They were throwing pills on the floor to see if I would grab them. Like, I don't know. It was so crazy. I was controlling the weather with my mind.
Wow.
It was
make it stop
some
rain.
Crazy shit.
Yeah. Could have used you a few months ago.
Jeez. Yeah, that rain, man, I could have stopped. But I can't tap into that anymore, unfortunately.
Right. You lost that power.
Yeah, I did. It was very socialized. I felt like some sort of guru god type thing.
Really?
It was insane.
So, were you at home and in therapy, or were you like away for a while? Like, did you go away to?
No, it was just 8 days, and then
I thought you said 6 months.
Well, 6 months because I tricked the eight. You know, I tricked the psych ward thinking I was okay.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then the symptoms went on for 6 more months.
Right.
So every day was a test. And it eventually subsided, and I went through therapy and medications and stuff.
That right.
I was like, holy shit, I went crazy.
Yeah.
But crazy people don't know they're crazy.
Right,
you know?
Exactly, right.
So it was a very weird turning point, but I've obviously learned and grow out of that. So
right.
I know what not to do now.
Sure.
As far as repressing. And I mean, you know, I slip sometimes and I have little spillovers and I go, oh, okay, good. But
mm-hmm.
I'm never going to get to that point where I lose my goddamn mind anymore.
Right, right, right.
And so lose my CDs.
I'll get you goddamn CDs.
Yeah.
That's all he cares about. He always
breaking the tension.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
I hope there's no tension. There's no, it's, that's,
no, I'm
that's,
not, I,
that's
I'm cool honest that, and open about it. Because
no, it's cool that you're,
something
that's
I went through.
Awesome that I don't even know you guys that well and you're willing to say that. That's cool. But, as you get older, you realize that, the body does what it does for a reason, and it's really easy to sit back and flippantly say, oh, that's crazy. He went crazy last night. Oh, wow, you're crazy. That's nuts. Why would? And I'm getting more, like, not that I'm afraid to offend people, but I'm starting to understand the word a little bit more and really, like, it's not really the right terminology because there's people out there that legitimately are dealing with things, and we just flippantly say, that's crazy, you know?
And our music is kind of like, let's get that fucking energy out.
Yeah.
Let's get it out.
Burp the lid.
Right? Yeah, and it's really nice.
Yeah.
Us three, we all have our own demons. Everybody does, but us three, we let it out in a different way.
Yeah.
And he does it with the drums, I do it with vocals, and Evan does it with the guitar. And we create destruction.
You're three of the nicest angry, pissed off guys I've ever met. Am I just catching you on the right day? Wrong day.
Ekim and Jared are nice people.
Oh, you're a
dead humble nice guy over in the corner. He just needs
I just need a hug, I guess.
You just need a hug.
Yeah,
you're in there, man.
I'll give you stuffed peppers. I'm not
right.
You're good.
You gave him that hug.
We're not hugging. I'll give you food. Yeah. Okay. All right. I understand a little bit more.
If anyone that knows us, if they had to say who's the asshole and cigarette cutter, the unanimous choice would be me.
Yeah.
I
feel like you wear that badge with pride.
I don't know.
He's an asshole.
Very forthright. I'm a forthright person. I don't know.
That's fine. No,
something's on my mind, I usually say.
I got no problem.
I think that's a good quality, though.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like that, though.
I like that you guys are legitimately pissed off and trying to
burp the
pressure, as opposed to how much false I'm mad about something metal is out there, and they're really not. You know, like, it's just...
fake.
Yeah, it's false metal. It's just aggression for the sake of... we wanted to sound like somebody else, you know?
We're old, and we're miserable. What else do you want? And, you know, we're just going to, like, put all our miserable attitudes in the one big jar and stir it up, and hopefully people enjoy it.
Yeah, as much as it is, like, a representation of, like, you know, maybe anger issues or whatever, I just think it's a certain way we look at music more so than it is, like, a statement on our soul. Or, you know, like, anything really overdramatic like that. Like I just think, like, the whole thing for me was to get... much like how punk rock was to rock and roll, it's like, take all the, you know, the 9 minute, because you get these heavy bands and you're like, and then it's like 7-8 minutes of that. I'm just like, you know what?
Yeah.
You know, not like that. Obviously, we're not the first people to do that, but we're not really a hardcore band. We're not really a, you know, stoner metal.
Right.
So there's like a certain thing we're going for, which is not really...
it's our own.
Because you go with our, like, how it sounds, you go a little too far left, and it's, you know, it's basically, you know, metalcore. If you go the other way, it's stoner jams.
Planet.
You know, like, you know, stuff from, like, Bong Ripper or whatever, you know, which is good. Just like that. There's something in the middle there, I think we're going for as kind of our own rhythm. It's not our own. You know, like, a lot of the stuff that influences me personally.
Yeah.
Like Godflesh, Floor, like bands that had that thing that is like a, what do you call that rhythm in all those?
Yeah,
you know, and I think we said from the beginning, what do you want to sound like? Is we want to sound like Secret Cut.
Yeah, we all love certain styles of music. Evan loves his style, I love my style, Jarrett loves his style, and we all just, you know, put it in, like I said, we put it in a big ball, and just it comes out how it comes out. We're not trying to sound like anybody else. We're trying to do what we think is fun to us.
Our own influences, kind of.
And if we don't like it, then we're not going to put it out. Simple.
And what's cool is now is like, it's like there's a certain... doesn't even really have to be said. It's like we've been playing together a pretty long time now, and now it's like there's once if a song's not there, we just know it. Like,
we're really
sometimes honest. I'll try to force it because I have, like, you know, because I wrote it.
I want to finish a riff,
and I'm like, I gotta get this, and then they're just like, I guess it's cool, and I'm like, you know. And right actually, on. Like for a long time for me, that was a big thing for me, like trying to let go a little bit. As much as I still am a, you know, I definitely more collaborative.
Right.
In this thing, working with Jared and having it kind of just going up. And you too, Ethan. But more so Jared.
You've got a unique
show up more, you wouldn't have that problem.
No.
Oh, snap.
Boom.
Got a unique role where you're being collaborative with these guys, and you have the long history and the chemistry, but at the same time, you're controlling all the instrumentation other than the drums, too. Right. So there's like...
oh, he controls the drums, too.
Yeah, mind. With my mind, I control the drums.
I feel them.
But no, like, I will come. I mean, not to, you know, sometimes I'll come with an Master idea of puppets. A rhythm in my head, you know. And there's other times where I'll play something and I have this one thing and he'll do something different, jazzier.
Right.
And
that's not a curse word around here.
You know, like, there's definitely stuff on the album where, you know, the end product is nothing like it was in my head when it came there.
Right.
You know? I'm thinking maybe 17.5 dead air. That's the thing, though, like with Ethan's voice and everything together, it really, mm-hmm. it's like three very distinct things, I think, style.
Definitely.
And we're not
like
scared
that.
To hurt.
I like that.
We're not scared to hurt each other's feelings, you know. We're all
yeah, it's pretty honest.
Yeah.
You know, there's, you know, three minds are better than one. You,
yeah, some yeah. songs come together instantly. Some songs take like 5.5 years to right.
And it's not a constant 5 years. It's just like it'll write it and be like, eh.
Nibbles.
Yeah.
Here and there. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, just over time, it kind of.
Yeah, what was wrong with that?
I don't know. Or yeah, it goes, you know, like, nah, that's just not. We're not connecting with it.
Let's again, like, the studio is awesome because we have stuff. We have a whole, you know, yeah. piles of stuff. We'd like live sessions and things we can pick mm-hmm. from.
Oh, you know, recording practice.
Like some of those two songs on there, they're on the album that weren't from that session at all.
Mm-hmm.
We just used from another session. That we, you know, it was supposedly just going to be like a, I think it was supposed to be like us listening to what we wrote.
Right.
You know, he mixed it together and everything.
But then you go through and you pilfer, you go through and I like this got a little stale here, but that riff was killer. Yeah. And I like this too. And hey, look at that. They come together. Right. And now we made this amazing 3-minute murder now. You know, that's great, you know.
And so it evolves over time though, you know.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely songs in there that would probably started out as three separate songs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think the second track on the album is definitely one of those that was, you know, I had one part and then we tried to make that whole song like, eh. So we kind of with this thing where it's like, well, if this whole thing sucks, well, just why don't we just take this part of it that's really, you know, we think is good and just kind of keep playing that.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's like, that's good.
Just keep trying it.
It's like, yeah. I tend to go a little overboard, because like, it'll be, oh, then this part, and this, and this, and then, and then it's like, and you all see Jared just kind of looking.
Yeah,
away thinking about playing Halo or whatever goes through your mind, and then I know it's just like, that's obviously not good.
It's filler.
Then I go home and I cry.
Oh,
and I cry.
You do beat yourself up.
There is. The,
I do. It's gotta be. It's gotta be good. I
don't know. It's all good.
You guys made him cry. Bunch of jerks.
Yeah,
we're all very emotional.
We just share it in different ways.
Yeah.
I believe
we internalize.
There's also a weird angle of sense of humor with the album too. The fact that you named it self-titled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually an homage to a band called Carp.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. In my opinion, that's how I felt about it.
They did ST, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like another thing was like that. I looked at it. I really liked that the art that we used. But what is that?
I have no idea.
Exactly.
I was going to ask you what
that
was.
And then hence, like, that's kind of like very abstract. Kind of very bare bones, actually. It's like, well, you know, you tell.
Mm-hmm.
It's also like, in retrospect, it's like, well, what would you call what we do as a band?
And you guys officially pissed me off with the title Midtro.
Right? Didn't like that?
No. How did I not think of that? That was I saw Midtro and I was like, well, you got to be kidding me. How did I skip over that every time?
It's
I
obviously thought a ripoff of, you know, Tommy with the overture and the underture.
Oh, no, I never thought of that. Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of where that, right. that kind of, that at least that, where I thought of it.
It was like so,
type of idea.
As soon as I read it, it was so hanging in my face. I was like, oh, I'm an idiot. How did I not think of Midtro? I
mean, just probably 1,000 bands that had outro.
Yeah, right.
Know? So then it's just mid, you know.
Yeah.
Just kind of something to start off the second, well, you know, in the second.
The flip, yeah. The other half of the orange.
I think that doesn't start off the second side, does it?
No.
I don't remember.
Oh, it doesn't?
No, it's somewhere.
I just assumed it did.
Right, okay, yeah.
Evan's cool. The mastermind of a lot of that stuff. I mean,
yeah, because I have the most free time.
What do you do? What do you do when you're not secret?
I work
cutting.
In transportation.
Transportation.
I'm the dispatcher.
Dispatcher for transportation.
And I'm really happy about it.
I can tell. What do you do, Egan?
I'm a union boiler maker, welder / construction.
Okay, all right.
Out of Philly.
And you said you were maintenance?
Yeah, I work at a respiratory company. Got it. Doing building maintenance.
Right on. Shit. Right on.
Yeah.
Let's buy some Secret Cutter records.
No college degrees in Secret Cutter.
No. Right?
I do have a degree.
Do you have
actually.
A degree?
I never did shit with it.
See, we're learning about ourselves.
Applied science. Associates.
Oh, really? you don't even look sure. I have a
what
applied,
do I do
with think?
Radio TV program.
All right.
I am just now starting to figure out what to do with it. So right. That was 10 years ago. I was.
Well, it's
I remain.
Nothing's changed technologically since, you know.
Not at all.
No,
I'm
things have changed technologically since
I went to
we started
for electronics
the podcast.
And yeah. I went to, like, you know, I had electronics in high school.
Yeah.
There you go. Preparing for the future. In a year, everything you know is now useless.
Oh, I know what I want to finish. You guys are giving us an exclusive track. You guys covered a Dead Kennedy song.
That's right.
Tell me a little bit about it.
Oh, boy. Your emotions. Dead Kennedys.
You want me to say this?
Go ahead.
It's all
Evan. It's a track on Fresh Fruit for Rotting Vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Dead Kennedys first LP. There was a website that was going to, they do collections of albums that are start to finish. They cover whole records.
That's a cool idea.
And I don't want to say it because I don't know where it is.
Right.
It kind of just never happened. I don't know if it's just in limbo or not, but we recorded for that and it just never really came to fruition. So
cool.
For this band,
mm-hmm.
So I kind of went with a song that's not really political, because on the first Dead Kennedys record, this is pretty much it.
Okay,
you know, there's no real, everything else is politics about things that no one really knows about anymore.
Right,
you know, Jerry Brown, governor of California, who cares?
No right. one. Right, so I got you.
I thought this one was a little more relevant in, because it's just about something else.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Dead Kennedys fan, but I have heard them before, and I feel,
and plus,
like,
this is my favorite song.
When I've listened to them, I'm like kind of humming along and singing the words I know, and I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? Mm. I have no idea. Whatever. Holiday Inn.
I think because of their politics, I think maybe they're becoming a little antiquated.
Mm.
Like antiquated because, you know, you're talking about, you know, Ronald Reagan, how much he sucks. You know, no one cares about that anymore. You know,
but at the time, yeah, you know, yeah.
So just like I guess that's kind of the danger of being, you know, very up to date politically.
Yeah.
And in your music. Because, you know, it could be 20 years ago and people would be like, you know, what is that?
Right. Well, yeah, you're skating that fine line. If you try to make your lyrics too popular, then.
It's good for the time, you know, but I mean,
yeah.
You
have to fight the you know, how do we make it timeless and not so watered down that it's popular?
I think internal stuff in your mind probably lasts longer.
Right. You know. Right on. Thanks so much for your time, guys. I'm gonna kick
you
out.
Man.
Check us out. We're not done. There's new stuff in the way.
Good. When's that?
Oh, we have no clue.
Yeah, that's the beauty.
We just put down the basic.
When is Bethlehem? When is Bethlehem Rust requiring your album to be out?
Well, it depends on this. There's a change in CEO, so we're gonna see what his agenda is for the next fiscal quarter. And we'll adjust we'll adjust from there.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I hate deadlines.
Me too.
Good. Really don't have it.
Whenever we think it's done, it'll be done.
Right on.
When it's right, it's right.
When it's right, it's right.
Yep. I'm going to put all
Did
the
I
links.
Hog too much mic time, guys? I'm sorry.
It's all good.
You're awesome.
You're good. Your mic wasn't on the entire time. Can we go again?
Beautiful.
Start
Beautiful.
Over. Welcome to As the Story Grows. Totally kidding. I'm going to put the links up, how to get a hold of you, where to find your site, Bandcamp, and all that stuff. Everybody, Beautiful. Go listen, download, buy a record. And thanks, Secret Cutter.
Thank you.
Thanks, Thank Brad. You.
Good night, guys.
We love you. Take care. Bye-bye.